On today's episode, we're going to talk about sports and how they translate into business, celebrating small wins, but keep calm and stick to the plan. Lastly, we're going to talk about starting your day and ending your day with networking.
Let's go!
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Grzbowski. This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today we have Chad Stender. He is a Director of Investments and Operations at 76 Capital. Chad oversees the business operations, investments, finance, and administration at 76 Capital. He also runs 76 Capital's internship program, which currently has over 100 alumni to date. He also works with partners of 76 Capital to support them with investor relations, fundraising, and company investments. I would like to say that he's also my friend, which is even cooler than all that. So, Chad, happy to have you on the show.
Happy to be here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for taking the time and doing this somewhat of an awkward in-person interview. Before we get into everything, so we're going to have to start the podcast off the same way we do every single time, and that's with an icebreaker. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life.
Okay.
Where are you going to eat, and what are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
Where am I going to eat? I'm going to go with family. I'm going to eat, you know, always home cooking, so I'm going to go to my parents' house.
Nice.
What am I ordering? Wow.
Unlimited possibilities.
Probably my mom's favorite. She makes this barbecued shrimp dish that's just
nice,
out of this world. You always have it during the summer. It's always nice out. You're with family and friends outside, and that's kind of like the best thing that I think she does and that I always remember growing up, and she obviously still does it. So.
Nice. What when was the last time you had that dish?
The summer.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Every summer, multiple times a summer.
Yeah. Was it a good day when you had it?
It's always it's always a good time, but it's definitely a recipe that's been with me for a long time.
So I know you well, but to the people that are watching and listening, they may not know who you are. So if you could just tell us a little bit more about yourself, who are you and what is your story? What are you all about?
Yeah. I consider myself very fortunate. I'm a determined and hardworking person, and I've been at the right place in the right time multiple times. Mm. I grew up in Lancaster, so about hour and a half west of Philadelphia. I went to college in Virginia, and at college, I knew I didn't kind of want to be stuck behind a desk all day. I wanted to be around people. I wanted to, whatever I did, have an impact on my career, and always be able to aggressively pursue things. Mm. And I know that's not a very direct, but I always had a massive passion for sports and athletics, played sports growing up. And my first working experiences was, you know, I worked for Disney World down in Orlando.
Oh, really?
I came up back home around here, I consider Philly home always from the start, always a Phillies fan. And I got to intern for the Sixers, I worked for the Flyers, and then I worked for all of Comcast Spectacor. So, I mean, I got a first real job, I'd say, was working in professional sports.
That's cool.
So it was incredible. After a couple of years, I had this really earning interest to work in the innovation and startup world. I didn't really know exactly what that meant.
Yeah.
But I left the sports to figure that out, and I spent 4 or 5 years trying to figure that out. Mm. And through that, through networking, through connecting, I got to know the team at 76 Capital. I got to know Wayne Kimmel really well. I got to know one of my best friends to date, Scott Bohr. And the next thing I knew, 7 or 8 years later, I was working in venture capital, honestly not having that goal all along of being in venture capital. But it's been great. It's been a great journey, and really we're just getting going as we launch our next fund.
Yeah. I mean, 76 Capital, to everybody who has no idea what 76 Capital is probably one of the, if not the fastest growing, but always in the news, always having their name out there. Can you just give us like a recap of what 76 Capital does and, you know, maybe some insight into the future?
Yeah, I mean, today we describe ourselves as a sports tech venture fund. Wayne Kimmel, the founder, started everything with another partner back in 1999, so almost 20 years ago, investing in startups, working with startups, and doing everything possible to help them succeed, obviously. And I was fortunate, like I said, about 6 years ago to come on board. And the last 18 months to 2 years, we've been doing more and more in the sports space. We were very fortunate. We partnered with four guys that left the legacy agency and started their own sports marketing agency called Rubicon Talent. So now we're partners with a sports marketing agency, which gives us incredible access. We work with their athletes and with their talent on the business side of things. They bring us deals. They help us get to see opportunities that we wouldn't without them. And it's incredible air coverage to have these athletes. And then about 18 months ago, we officially brought on Ryan Howard as a partner. It's been incredible. As famous and as incredible as an athlete is, he's an even better person. He's incredible to work with. He's incredible to spend time with, to see him in meetings, interacting with the entrepreneurs and the innovators. And to your point, like, it's wild the coverage we're getting, but, you know, the one thing I would say is that if you don't talk about yourselves, no one else really will. So you can't be shy about putting out what you think you're doing well and what you're focusing on. You should tell your story constantly and consistently.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, and I want to go further into that. Like, with your story, like, what is it about the VC world? Because, like, ideally, if there's a startup that's listening or watching, ideally, like, you'd be the dream person to talk to about their startup. You're talking to a VC and is, to them, like, it to some people, it could be, like, if I had a VC, all I need is a VC in order to give me funding, right? And I'm set for life. That's the mentality of some people. What is it about venture capital? What is it about entrepreneurship, innovation, that startups that you just fell in love with that you wanted to make it your mission, your career?
Yeah. I think the thing about the innovation entrepreneurship is that, if anything, I started on the other side. I started working in startups as leading startup teams, and I got to experience it firsthand. I think when you go right into the investment side, it's a little bit harder to empathize. It's a little bit, you're a little bit tougher on how you work with the startups, from what we found. And the story of 76 Capital is an entrepreneur's story, right? So Wayne wasn't handed a company. He wasn't handed a pile of capital. He raised it. He went out and hustled and made it happen. He recently wrote a book about it, and you can read about his stories of how he built 76 Capital, started his Eastern Technology Fund, today 76 Capital, from the ground up. And I think what our team does really well is we work with our entrepreneurs. We like to get our hands dirty. We understand how tough it is. But when you invest early, sometimes it's a couple people and an idea. Sometimes it's pre-market. Sometimes they only have a few customers. So you're helping them with get customers, hire employees, figure out what vendors to work with, figure out accountants and attorneys and all the critical things that a company needs to build their base on.
Gotcha. Well, to the same point, if I'm an entrepreneur or if I have a startup and I'm trying to get my information out there more, and I feel as if that I need venture capital money or angel money, at what point in time should an individual come up to you and pitch their business?
Yeah, I mean, I think for any of us and all of us, we're always selling and pushing what we have. So I never think it's too early to start the process. You can always be too late. You can always be basically out of capital, or you start to feel like, I'm running out of time, I'm running out of money, and it's not a good position to be in. So you can never be too early. It's good to build those relationships and connections. And it's with the investors. It's with the people that know the investors. And you want to start going after capital 6 to 8 months before you really think you need it, because it takes a lot of time. It's a lot of doors you're going to have to knock on. It's going to be a lot of no's. Hopefully, you get to where you need to go sooner than later.
Yeah.
But it's not traditionally easy.
Yeah. Is there any, like, etiquette that maybe somebody has gone up to you and, like, quietly pitched their business? And was there, like, a story that you might have that comes to mind if somebody, like, doing it the right way, if there ever is a quote-unquote right way?
Yeah, no, it comes down to the people. There's plenty of... The majority of people, I think, do it well, right? And not to be, like, avoid the bathroom. It's amazing how many people want to... Like, there's a time and place, right? And I laugh about, like, I have...
You got
like,
someone pitched,
you know, to a point, I'm like, you know, why don't we continue this, you know? But...
Awesome.
Like it's like any other first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the right way is to give someone the 30 seconds, let their personality come through, but don't hard sell. Mm. It's a lot like dating. Like you kind of want to slowly get to know someone before you're just diving right in.
Mm.
And you want to set up for that longer meeting for when you're going to really dive in. I mean, it's hard to formally pitch anything in 2 or 3 minutes if you're going to do it well.
Yeah.
So people that do it well are polite, understand time. You see their personality come through. And if you click more on personality, you'll have time to explain your business.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare that you hear a 30-second elevator pitch and you're like, oh, it's going to be... Because there's just not enough.
Salvating.
But you do remember, you know, meeting Jonathan, seeing who he is, understanding him, and saying, that's a guy that I want to find out more about and find out what he's up to.
Gotcha.
That's the best way in my eyes to go about it.
Good. Well said. You've roughly, like, how many businesses, entrepreneurs do you think you've worked with throughout your 6-year career?
I mean, we're at the point where we're going to see about 1,000 potential deals this year.
Wow.
Now, granted, I'm not saying we're going to review 1,000, but 1,000 potential business investments will come across our plate.
That's awesome.
And that's what you want as an investor. You want to see as much as possible, and you need to have the right processes and the team behind it to go through it properly. Hundreds and hundreds of different entrepreneurs, innovators, founders. I've been very fortunate. I mean, getting to share someone's hopes and dreams and to hear what they're passionate about and see what they're going to do next, it's really exciting. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to expand on that a little bit. You know, so 1,000 people this year. Are there ever have you ever came across a story of or a theme that the entrepreneurs that you see that you may be temporarily lost in business and you try and find a way to guide them to profitability, so to speak? Because that's kind of like why the podcast was created, because our job is to tell stories so we can help other people who are blind in business, so to speak, and try and get them out of that rut that they might be in. Is there any story that comes to mind that, you know, you met an entrepreneur, they were like completely lost, they had no idea, and just like looking at a couple of things, they're able to tweak it and then excel?
There's a couple stories that come to mind. The common theme and trend is that I think entrepreneurs and innovators, some of them tend to tinker.
Mm.
Some of them have the excuses kind of there and they know what they need to solve, but it's not a science.
Mm.
You really need to dive in. You know, the first time you ship your product, it's by no means going to look anything like your next version or your final product. But it's a very scary moment. But that to me is very common, that I'm sitting there, I'm like, what are you waiting for?
Mm.
Like, well, you know, we're still working on our name, right? We're still updating our website. Our product needs these two features. We don't think anyone will pay for this. Like, how do you know until you ask people to pay for it?
Mm.
Or give it away for a little and see what the feedback is. Mm-hmm. But it's that scary moment of, do we go live or not? But you got to go live at some point. So I always try to just push people into it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to learn on your feet. And that's where you find out if someone is an entrepreneur that's going to be able to make it and continue to move on. Mm-hmm. Or it's better to figure out early enough what you struggle with.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, like, another really important question that I always ask everybody that's on the podcast is, like, the hardest thing to do in business is to achieve your first 100 customers. If you were to go up to an entrepreneur and just say, like, if an entrepreneur were to ask you, like, how do I even do it? Besides just doing it and physically doing it, is there anything else that you would say to that individual that to help them accomplish that first 100 customers?
Yeah, I mean, we are massive proponents at 76 Capital of using social media, of working with the resources, figuring out where your best followers, where your best interactions and involvement come from. But I said it, we all sell. We all have to be comfortable with selling ourselves and selling our products. And if you can't do that, you're not going to be as successful as you need to be, right? So the best salespeople early on are the founders of the company. You don't have time to have a sales staff, and you're not paying thousands of dollars for online. You need to organically be able to do it, and it's a hustle play. But the best time at a startup is the first 6 to 8 months when it's still so exciting, really sexy, really fun. You haven't had enough pain points, and that's the time that you're so energized, but you need to keep figuring out ways to stay focused and energized as you get out of that initial startup and kind of like the dating phase of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
But if you can't sell yourself from the jump, you're going to struggle. You're struggling off the bat, and you're going to struggle all along.
Yeah, no, that's very, very well said. This is more of like a, I'll hold off on that question. You in particular work with the internship program. Mm-hmm. And I think going back to VC money and having that extra capital, the next thing that a lot of people would kill for are quality interns. Is there any secret sauce that has worked well for you to manage an intern or to manage like a fellow associate to kind of like get them on board with what it is that you're trying to do and hold them accountable and et cetera?
The best thing that we do is we have a culture. We're comfortable with how we operate and how we look at things. And we try to, when we're getting to know, when we're getting to know the potential intern, it's, do we feel like they'll be a good fit? Mm-hmm. Do we see the value add? Are they trying to simply get an internship because they need something to do or they need credit? Mm-hmm. Or do they really know about us? Do they really want to be here? And do they kind of have a feeling for who we are, like, from the jump? Mm-hmm. And like everything, the referrals, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. That some of our best interns are from some of our other great interns. But I was really lucky. I had some great internships. I think I had 4 or 5 internships before I really, got into a true career. Mm. And I think they were invaluable experiences. Mm. And it is tough. You're really grinding and trying to figure things out. Mm. But a lot can come from it if you do well with the internships. So
yeah. So even from the aspect of like the internship. So you had personal internships. Mm-hmm. What about the internships that, like the program that's in 76 Capital? Is there anything that, like, to take away that you've been able to facilitate from the internship programs that are here and, like, making them better individuals going on?
I would really hope and I really believe there's a strong value add from working with the interns. We've been fortunate. We've been able to place interns at some of our portfolio companies,
nice.
At companies that we know from the outside. We have hired some interns. It's a good working environment. But the thing I think we do well is when we work with interns is they work on whatever we're working on.
Yeah.
So we're not going to take on an intern to simply have them really not work closely with us and have real value. And if they're interested in the social media, we tend to steer them to that side. If they want to be more on the valuation side, everyone loves looking at deals. I mean, that's the exciting part of this. Yeah. So we definitely get them in on some of the pitches and some of the in-person companies pitching to us. So it's cool.
Yeah, that must be a really good experience for an intern, just not knowing, you know, maybe in the business space, but really being able to look at the deals and it going down. It kind of like you're on the opposite end of the spectrum of Shark Tank, so to speak.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is more like a fun question. So we got like a good foundation of the business side of like who you are. Now this is more like we were hanging out anyways, but this is more like the hangout type of questions. So if there's anyone that you would like to meet to help you and your business, to help your mentality, to better your career, who would you like to meet and why would you like to meet them? I didn't tell you I was going to ask this question because I wanted it to be the first person off the top of your head.
Wow.
And it could be more than one person because I know you're a sports guy. So if it's more than one person, that's totally cool.
Yeah. Now, given the political environment and everything that's going on, not just in our country and in the world, President Obama, fresh off of coming out of 8 years, very tough time of like the 07 to 09 period. I would love to, you know, hear firsthand how he got through, what he thinks looking back, and then what's going on now and moving forward, get his true take. I mean, that would be a dream sit down.
Being a sports guy, is there anybody in sports that you would like to?
It was always Charles Barkley. Like growing up, like from the jump, being Sixers, Eagles, Flyers, and Phillies to a degree. Like, it was always Charles Barkley. Mm. Like I can remember going to the Spectrum and seeing him play, and I was fortunate to get to meet him at an event probably 2 years ago. So I've always said I wanted to meet Charles Barkley. And,
what did you say to him when you met him?
I told him, I said, you know, I'm, you know, this old and I've seen you play from the time I was little and the time you were young in your career. And he's just he doesn't hide anything. He tells it like it is, but he's amazing with people. He's incredible. And it was what I had hoped. I mean, he's just, guy's amazing. That's larger than life.
Now that we have that foundation, I want to talk more about habits. And I know that you're like a sports guy, so I'm really curious to hear about your habits and like what you do throughout your day, like your process. Because every entrepreneur, every business executive, every successful individual has a flow about them. And again, correlating it to sports, is there a particular habit that has helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
You know, I think the biggest thing I've learned about working in venture capital, working with startups, having two kids that are under five, it's how do you ride the highs and lows and try to stay even keel? That it's so awesome to celebrate the wins, but you got to remember that with the good comes the bad. And if you can kind of keep calm, keep your wits about you and stay focused on what you're working on, what your goal for the day is, what your goal for the week, the quarter, that's how you continue to be successful. It's the little victories that add up to the big ones. And literally, like, every day there's there's a couple things I'm trying to achieve because I consistently know what I need to do on the bigger picture, but I need to have the little wins. But you can't get frustrated. You can't get overly excited. Celebrate a victory and then get back to work.
Yeah.
And you don't have time to really sit there and gloat. There's work to be done. Technology, as ironic as investing in tech, being surrounded with tech, there's cameras and microphones and all around us, right? It's the, how do you manage the, literally your phone's attached to you.
Yeah.
Like when you're sleeping, it's on the nightstand. When you wake up, it's in your hand till the time you go to bed. And so being connected to technology, how do you use it as an advantage and not a weakness? And again, staying focused.
Roughly, on an ideal day, like, what time do you normally wake up?
Like, late fives into, you know, like, by six. It's by six. Like, usually, again, it's having little kids. You don't really, as much as I can set an alarm, I'm usually, you know, I hear a, you know, yeah, so pitter-patter or a dad kind of thing. Nice. And, you know, on the flip side, usually by, like, I'm saying I'm much more of a morning than a late night owl.
Yeah, I can
hang out till midnight, mm-hmm. but that 11 to 11 o'clock on, I do not do great work.
Yeah.
So I can return emails, but I rarely am like deep into due diligence or gotcha. Looking at like a legal doc or, pretty much 11 o'clock on, I'm spent.
Is there, I'm just kind of curious, like, is there any type of meditation or is there any type of like Zen, maybe gym, basketball? Is there like a place? Because I remember talking to you before, you're in a men's league, right? In basketball?
Yeah, there's a couple of games that I try to play in. I think the like true meditation, I think everyone should do. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, I say it from a very hypocritical standpoint, mm-hmm. but there are so many talented artists, you know, celebrities and successful business people, and they all contribute a lot of their success to meditation, yeah. being able to stay focused and finding some quiet time. And I think everyone, that's to the point of like how technology is driving us, that it's okay to spend 10, 15 minutes just away from everything. And I think I need to do a better job of it, but yeah. I love sports. I love working out. I got heavy into running marathons post-college for a couple of years, and I thought that was a lot of fun mm-hmm. and a great way to spend 3 or 4 hours to really think and be on your own.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to spend 3 or 4 hours. I kind of use that as a excuse, but I don't have any interest at the moment of yeah. running marathons. But yeah. To me, it's always working out and now getting to play with the kids and watch that's them. Cool. And so
that's
kind of where it's at.
That's awesome. You mentioned some resources and technology and like stepping away. Is there anything that like, is there like an app that you just, or like, is there any type of piece of technology that you couldn't live without that helps you better your job?
To me, like where we're at, if you have a phone, mm-hmm. computer and Wi-Fi, you can be anywhere in the world and do your job. I mean, the thing that we constantly laugh and joke about are like getting out of office, like you send out an email blast and you get 100 out of office messages back. Yeah. Like, you know,
what are your thoughts? Where, like, do we need that anymore? No, because like, no. I don't think, like, I don't give a crap if you're on vacation. Like, that's cool. Like, that's awesome.
Look, to each their own. If people are fortunate that they can completely unplug,
yeah,
I respect that. But I just think everyone's connected. Who are we kidding?
Right, exactly.
And you're never really out of office because, to me, work's not something that you start and stop, whether you're networking or making connections or, like, you're constantly doing what you do because it's going to benefit your career and yeah. you personally. So the idea of, like, telling people you're checked out yeah. is pretty comical to me.
Yeah.
There are circumstances in life. And
of course.
But I think it's a negative to have an out of office because it kind of lets people know like you're not working.
Yeah.
You're just taking time off.
I remember emailing somebody and getting that away message and then being like, there's no way. And then tweeting that person and then they responded to my tweet. And I'm just like, what was the purpose of this like away message if you have Twitter and you're responding to Twitter? So I agree with you. I side with you on that one. So the last major question, and it's my personal favorite, and go in as little or as much detail as you want. The Blind Entrepreneur, this podcast was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business, stated before. So to those individuals that are stuck, to the individuals that are just entrepreneurs trying to get money, trying to talk to VCs or just grow their business in general, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
The first one, and bar none, to me is you can never, ever network too much. You can never have too good of connections and relationships. And I know people that you know, as you get successful, more people are reaching out to you and connecting, but you should be so fortunate that you constantly should start and end your day trying to meet and connect with new people. Mm-hmm. You never know who you can help next. And you also never know when you're going to need something. Mm-hmm. And you don't know if it's someone you just met or someone you met 15 years ago. But the more people you can connect with and have close personal relationships, mm-hmm. the better you'll be at life. And it's the willingness to give without the expectation of getting something mm-hmm. back. Help people. As long as you think they're good people, help them out and do not expect anything in return. Because like I said, you don't know when you're going to need that favor. And if you've been good to them, they'll hopefully be good back to you. But keep giving, and it will keep coming around when and if you need it. So that's number one. You can never network enough. You just can't. Mm-hmm. Number two is everyone needs to get comfortable and needs to get better at selling. Mm-hmm. And it's what we spoke about earlier. No matter what we're doing, we're all selling something, whether it's ourselves, our company, our product. And you don't have to be that. Everyone hears the word sales and they think like pushy. That's not what I'm talking about. But you've got to know what you want and you have to know how to get there. And that to me is the basis of sales. Mm-hmm. But everyone has to get better at putting themselves out there and knowing the proper way and figuring out how. And the part of sales is you will hear the word no, you will get doors shut in your face, and you got to have that resilience to keep going. Mm-hmm. And to the point on networking, but the thing, I just be a good person. Mm-hmm. Be nice to people. And I know that is so fundamental. It sounds so easy, and it's what everyone should do. But people are stressed, people are tired, and it should be so easy to just be nice to everyone, but yeah. Smile and be nice to as many people as possible, 24/7.
I feel like that's such an easy thing to do, but it's so difficult for some.
It is.
And I even find it harder to hate someone than to like someone. But was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I wasn't ready for the three, but
it's fine. And you know, honestly, Chad, everything that you said is spoken to who you are as a person, and I am and forever will be a huge fan. So thank you for your time. I really appreciate you just being on the show and allowing me to come to the office.
Thank you for having me. All good.
To those that are still watching and listening, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, subscribing. You successfully completed the podcast. So without further ado, you can look into that camera if you want. You can look into that camera if you want. Or you can look into no camera at all. It's totally fine. Just tell everybody like how they can contact you, how they can go on to check out what you're doing, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything is at Chad Stender, chad@76capital.com, mm-hmm. LinkedIn, Twitter, email. Happy to connect and to find ways to help each other. And Jonathan, I truly appreciate you having me, and I appreciate the friendship more.
Absolutely, man. Again, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, and head over to theblindentrepreneur.com for more information. Being blind in business is temporary, but I hope after listening to the wisdom of my friend Chad today, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.